Okay, Derech Hashem, Sunday, Yom Aleph, Parshas Chayesara, Shir number 14. To describe this, we're in the second paragraph of the fourth perek. I'll start from the beginning of the second paragraph again, because okay, I'll try to do it quickly, even though that never happens. In paragraph 1, he said, let's get down the Maisa. Let's get down to how all these and philosophies, how they to the world that we're in. So the person has his own personalities, his own aspects of his personalities. He has his, you know, whatever it is. He has this nature, that nature, his mental, his emotional state. And then he has where he lives, the things around him that are not inherently in the person. So in paragraph Beis, he says, "Kinas Adam Atzmo Nekvar Zacharnu Echumurk of Echod." He is one entity, but he's put together. He's not. There's no absolute unity. It's two things that are put together make up a person. Shnisrak Chlu Bo Shnei Hafochem, and actually two opposites. A positive and a negative. V'hainu aneshama v'aguf. And we spoke out that the guf is inherently bad or chomer or physical, but it's not going to remain that way. That's part of what we're accomplishing here, is to transform the guf into something spiritual. One of the ways to do that is because we do mitzvahs with our guf. We're mekadesh the guf. And this will be explained in detail by the Ramchal as he goes on in this perek. Right now he's just talking about the base of the neshama and the guf. In anachnu roim be'ineinu, we see shachumrius rishoni bo, that a person's guf, which is animalistic, eat, sleep, drink, everything is very basic. The guf is an animal. The toldosa, it left to its own devices, not controlled or guided. Left to its own devices, that's what it is. The toldosa of chazokos bo ma'od. And the ramifications of that are very strong, and it's really not so easy to overcome if the chet of Adam Arishon. Look at a child after he's born. Lo chomri, he only has desires. Has no rational thought, can't control himself, certainly. You don't see, this is why we say until 13 he has no yetzer tov, that's what we're talking about. That really you could be mechanechim, so that's what we try to do till they're 13. We try to train them to be patient, to wait this many hours after you eat fleishig before you eat that ice cream. You know, but this is a process. Until 13, we can only train him and hope for the best. And the truth is, in Shemayim, it's really till 20. In Shemayim, teenagers are what we know them all to be. Teenagers are children. Teenagers are ketanim. They're not really adults. So we know that, but they don't want to. The problem is the teenagers don't want to believe that.
What's the difference between
At 13 there's a Beis Din, you can get punished in Beis Din. In Shemayim it starts at 20. In other words, Shemayim understands, so to speak, that I don't want to go into the philosophy of that. You can control yourself enough that a Beis Din will punish you because you're considered to have enough Seichel, enough rational thought, enough ability to control yourself. And if you're Mechal Shabbos, you will be stoned to death if you're over Bar Mitzvah. In Shemayim, because that's what we see, and we can't get into a person's mind to take a measure of his maturity level. And so at 13, you have enough Seichel. That's all. That's the Shir. But in Shemayim, we're told that they don't punish until 20. Which means that in Shemayim, they still look at him as an immature katan. Because they take more into account than we do in this world. In this world, you know, for the purposes of this world, he's old enough to control himself and to make choices. In Shemayim, they have a deeper look into the person, and they, you know, they'll give him till 20 to straighten out. What it basically means is that the teenage years that we all struggle with, so in Shemayim, they say he's taka cotton. But that doesn't, it has no ramifications in our world. He'll be punished in Beis Din. He's totally responsible for any transaction he does. He's responsible for whatever he does. It's like the legal age, like, you know, the legal age of responsibility is 13. The more personal age of responsibility is 20, but we don't have, it really is not relevant to us. It's not, there's no relevancy to us that until 20 in Shemayim, they're still giving you enough leeway to fix yourself up. And they consider you the immaturity that we know teenagers have. But, okay, it's not relevant, really. We just have to look at it. So he says, when you're born, you're certainly kulo chomri, right? You don't have patience, you don't know anything, you only know what you know, right? Until the child is a few weeks old, he only knows to nurse, he doesn't know anything else. Nurse and sleep, you know, then, so it's getting older, but it's still until, in all seriousness, you know, without the jokes we usually make, till the age of 7 for sure, like, you know, you can't really expect, it's enough to keep him out of danger, you know, don't run into the street, cars, and, you know, don't put your hand next to the hot stove. But to expect a level of maturity, let's say to have patience, it doesn't matter the age. The point is, slowly, slowly, your seichel develops. The seichel is the physical manifestation of the neshama. The seichel, we use the words interchangeably, but the seichel is not synonymous with the neshama. You can use your seichel for evil. You can use your seichel to steal. You can use your seichel to help the guf. The neshama is totally pure. The neshama is chelik aloka mimal. The neshama wants a bond with Hashem. The neshama only wants good things. The neshama is or, not choshech. But we use the words seichel and neshama interchangeably for the purposes of, because lamaisa, rational thought of a human being is the physical manifestation of the neshama, where the rational says, you know, there must be a creator, there must be a purpose to my existence. I believe in Olam Haba, you know, everything that says in Pirkei Avos, you know, Da Malam Malam Imcha, Ayin Ro, Vozin Shemaz, Lecho Maasecha, Besefer Nechtovim. So this is the power of rational thought, making a cheshman on nefesh is rational thought. So what connects us to our neshama is our seichel, which will say means the power of rational thought. But again, we're going to just use it interchangeably without going over this explanation over and over and over again. We will be using the word seichel, but we really mean the neshama. We don't experience the neshama. We don't feel the neshama. We don't really connect to the neshama. That's what happened after the chet of Adam Arishon. The neshama becomes like something very theoretical almost. But we do connect to it through the seichel, because that's what leads us to do good in this tug of war between the neshama and the guf. So what's tugging on this side of the tug of war is really is the seichel. That's how we experience it, the seichel, not the neshama. We're using the seichel to win points for the neshama. For the neshama to be misgaber over the guf, we use our seichel. And it doesn't, you know, sometimes when a person's corrupt, so his seichel is used for evil things. Okay. But there is a natural connection between the seichel and the neshama, because true rational thought will lead you to good. It's just too compelling, whether it's the six mitzvahs tmidiyas and knowing that there's a Hashem who's watching you, the 30 cheshbainas of the chavis al-bavis and shah cheshman ha-nefesh, or dalif neim miyatos alitim din v'cheshman, all these things are is the power of rational thought. So, as Rabbi Chanan very, very famously explains, the reason extremely intelligent people are bad and immoral and horrible people is because they're not really being governed by their minds. They're really, even though their minds are brilliant and brilliantly evil and brilliantly figuring out how to do evil. But because the mind has been overpowered by their tigers, by their emotions, by their guf. That's the famous Rabbi Chanan. That's why things, that's why it's difficult. That's why we really can demand of a youngish person to be good. Brilliant people were bad. The answer is, we're not really asking him to develop his mind, we're really asking him to develop his control over his base instincts, which is really goes back to what the Shlosh says in Rav Chaim Vital, that everything really boils down to a question of midos. That's really the underpinnings of this dynamic is because that's why we really have to work on our midos, because we could have the greatest seichel in the world, and you see, brilliant people. I mean, a person like Einstein, right, one of the most brilliant people ever to live, and he couldn't reach the conclusion that there's a boreolum, you know, he couldn't reach that conclusion.
Even
what?
Even Hawking.
He's a Russia. He did not be Kairos. He's a Kaiser. Einstein was, I think, of more benign. He said there's a power out there. The whole idea of a unified field theory really points you in the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's one Yesod that governs everything that's going on in the world. He just like couldn't. Everybody has trouble with that Hashem cares about what I do. That's where, and not everybody, we don't. Even though sometimes we sort of, does Hashem really care about what I do? But that's where it breaks down. That's why this is an old problem. This is where Avodah Zorah came from. That people said, this almighty, this being that I can't even wrap my head around, that's unknowable and unfathomable and beyond my comprehension level, beyond anyone's comprehension level. So I can't relate to that. I have to have. So they made Avodah Zorah. So they made things that they could see and feel and touch. And there was always a conduit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but an Osir Dikur conduit. Hashem wants us to live with this struggle, really, of Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed, even though we can't really have a conception of Hashem. I think we do without meaning to. Like when we say Melech HaOlam and we're having Kavanah, I think the mind just automatically conjures up some image of a king on a throne. Like there is always an image. And not that we think the image is Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, but we think in terms of images, you know. So we say Melech HaOlam, we have an image of a Melech, HaGodol, HaGibor. So we have an image of a Gibor, you know. It's very hard to think purely conceptually. We think in images. It's very, very difficult to think purely conceptually, to think about ideas like not related to images. Just to think about ideas. Maharish Yeshiva did it and he trained us to do it somewhat, to think purely conceptually. But okay, we're getting off the topic here. So I'm saying Seichel is really the neshama, or the way seichel should work, if it wouldn't be for the midos, which are kina, taiva, kavod. Right? That's where everything comes from. That's why we talked about it a lot. We talk about it a lot. Avodas Hamidos is really at the root of all evil. Really, if you come right down to it, it's because the seichel isn't enough. It's not nearly enough. Some people are missing the seichel part also. They don't know. They don't know why I should believe in Hashem. They don't know why I must believe that Hashem Echad. So the Rishonim dealt with that in the earlier Chinuch, Ramchal, certainly, Kuzari, Chavis Halvavos, right? They dealt with it on that level. But the bottom line is that, but we know very well that you can have all of those great thoughts, but you're controlled by passion, you're controlled by taivus, you're controlled by wanting to have covered, wanting to be looked up at. That's kinna taiva covered. I don't know what the seven deadly sins are, but we have kinna taiva covered. We don't need anything more than that. Anyway, so when the child is young, it's all, you want to see an animal, it's a child, right? So until it starts developing the seichel, not enough to be able to control, but that's where chinuch comes in, and that's where prizes come in, and that's where you have to, you train and you give prizes, and you, sometimes you have to punish, and you do it judiciously. But you're just training. That's what's called chinuch. You're just training. We don't really think that the child, legally, the child is not really of a sufficient legal understanding, legal seichel, legal bina. That's why he can't do a lot of things. He can't make a kinyan. We look at him as not having a yetzer tov yet. So it's all training. Because if it'd be overwhelmed, he gets bar mitzvah, and then we don't put in much hope for the seichel, for the neshama, for the yetzer tov, so he has to be trained before. And as he grows up, right, he becomes more and more mature. Everybody has different rates of maturity. Everybody different. It boils down to control. Control. Is my seichel going to control? Right, that's the famous, what do we call the marshmallow test, right? The famous thing. Right? Are you able to control yourself? And the famous marshmallow test, where they put a kid in a room alone, and they gave him a marshmallow, I think, and they said, don't eat it for 5 minutes and you'll get two. And they have film of all the kids, and then they followed the kids into life. And the kids who waited were significantly more successful in life than the kids who couldn't control themselves and they just ate up the marshmallow right away. But even the film is fascinating. Like you watch a kid struggling with himself and trying to distract himself, and some kids like to try to hide the marshmallow so they can't. We do the same thing, and we hide it. And anyway, you can read the whole thing and even watch a lot of it. You just Google the marshmallow test. It's a very, very famous thing because they followed these kids.
Right.
And they saw those kids were successful, the kids who were maintained. But again, they're not even talking about spiritual success. I really shouldn't bring it up, because they use that ability to control your taivus and v'chulu to just gain more material success. We're in a different league totally. We're talking about spiritual success. But still, the chumrius, we'll call it animalistic tendencies, well, that's what it is. It's eating, sleeping, drinking, having pleasure, mating. These are all animal things. We try to make them holy. We're going to get to that part. But meanwhile, left to its own devices, just as the neshama is inherently pure, although it can be sullied and dirtied by the guf is inherently bad, even though we don't want to hear that. It's inherently bad, although it can be made good and spiritual and kadosh by the neshama. Not only can it, but that's what our work is in this world, to sanctify the guf. And that's why the Ramchal holds that the La'adu, L'netzach, Netzachim, forever and ever, is after Tchias HaMeisim, when the guf and the neshama bond. Unlike the Rambam, who holds that the forever and ever is just neshama, no guf. So that's a machlokas. But most Rishonim hold like the Ramchal. I really shouldn't talk like that, because Ramchal was an achron and lived much later, or after all the Rishonim, hundreds of years later. But that's, we're learning Ramchal now, so we'll give him the cover of saying the Ramchal holds that the main thing is after Tchias HaMeisim. So does the Kuzari, so does the Rambam. I'm sorry, Ramban. Ramban. And, okay. But anyway, so when I talk about the guf, and we're used to hearing how we mean left to its own devices. The guf is animalistic, chumrius, gas. The guf is what wants pleasure. The guf is what wants, you know, kina, taiva, kavod. There are things that are more edel. There are things that are more edel. When the guf wants kavod, for example, that's not really a guf thing. I don't know if an animal wants kavod. So it's animalistic in that it's pleasure, and it wants pleasure, but it is a seichel type of pleasure. Although, again, if you really use your seichel, so what good does it do you if someone gives you covet? The real seichel says, the main thing is what I am. What do I care what someone else thinks of me? Which is the whole Shaar Yichud HaMeis and Chavis HaLovas. All those pages and pages and pages and pages is to boil down to one sentence. What do you care what someone else thinks about you? What good does that do you? It doesn't do you any good. So it's animalistic, although it's emotional, it's cerebral, it's not physical. Your body doesn't gain by someone holding of it. Okay. So, you know, everything. As you grow and you hopefully mature, the ilumado, and you get used to using your seichel, and you practice because you have the chinuch, and you keep trying, and you try to overcome, and the seichel teaches patience. The seichel teaches you to look at the long range, not the short range marshmallow test. That's what mamish, what that is. It's to have patience and look at the longer range. Don't go for the immediate hedonistic pleasure. The marshmallow test becomes olam hazeh, olam haba. Sorry. The whole thing could be a metaphor. One marshmallow that's in front of you is olam hazeh. Second marshmallow is olam haba, and it's much more than a second marshmallow. It's an unimaginable spiritual pleasure that lasts forever and ever and ever. You know, it's not just a second marshmallow. But that's all. That's really what it boils down to. That's why Reuven, you know, you don't know wonder, Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar. Chazal tell us he didn't really do anything that bad, and it's very unusual. You know, we talk about Midos being the root of sin. It's unusual. Like Yaakov Avinu, really, he went to the root of what Reuven did wrong. Like Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar, like. You know, you acted too hastily. You acted in a rush. In a rush. You know. You want to act in a rush, so learn Masilas Yesharim and learn Zrizus, and then you learn how to be in a rush for good things. Okay. Even then, you have to be smart, because sometimes you jump into good things and it needs more planning, and it needs more Yishuv Hadas, and it needs more thoughts how to make it a lasting thing, not just a temporary burst of inspiration that's going to last a day or two. or three. Okay, anyway, Elishamila Bachma Yulad Boy is Chazek Vidrachel. How soon we're gonna be up to where we're up to. He makes lichloshes tivo, so you will develop that. The Chazal of others talks about self-control muscle. The muscle called self-control. And the more you exercise the muscle, like all muscles, the Chaim Salvador says this, like all muscles, the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. And if you don't exercise it at all, it's weak. V'lo yishalach resen tavosu miyado, he should never, you can never leave off the reins, R-E-I-N-S, of holding on to your tivus, you can never leave it go. V'yisatzeh molechus balichos ha-seichel. So that's your basic struggle in life. Ulam tochias in yonam elu, delving into it a little deeper, shonu roam. Here's actually what we're up to. Hinehusha b'metzias hachomer v'atzmuso nimtzo ha'achirus v'hachoshech b'teva. Unfortunately, after the chet of Adam Arishon, the natural, it's not natural to be spiritual. It's natural to be physical. It's natural to follow one's desires. It rules. Chumrius rules. Gashmius rules. That's the world we're in. V'hu metzius rachok ma'od v'hofki, and in contradistinction, v'mashu ha'inyan be'emes l'krev melakel yisbar shmo mistakim b'kiddush also. It really is not reality, or it's not, it's temporary, it's fleeting. I don't think there's any pleasure in the world that would last more than, no physical pleasure that would last more than a few seconds. And here we're talking a spiritual pleasure which is really unfathomable, and that's really part of the problem. And it's nitzchi, and but we're mired in this world in an olam of chomer, in an olam of choshech, and that's what's natural. That's the natural state, is the physical. That's the world we're in. We're in a physical world. Baneshama atzma, aval pisha ba'atzma, if on its own, he's zaka, it's pure, ve'el yona, and transcendent, he may be consul of Gufa Chomri. It's like you take a beautiful diamond and you throw it into the mud, and it becomes dirty and sullied and muddied, and it doesn't shine anymore. It's not shining. Nebuch, the poor neshama is traumatized, and it doesn't. It's not shining. It's trapped. It's covered up with mud, with dirt, with the dirt of Chumrius. Again, you'll say, don't call Chumrius dirt, bro. So Chumrius is dirt left to its own devices. It pulls you further away from Hashem and makes you involve yourself in things that are not Kedusha, that are not spiritual. We want to work on the Guf, work on the Chomer, transform it. But meanwhile, the Neshama, for the first few years of a person's life, right? And then even afterwards, the Neshama is traumatized and the Neshama has been thrown into the mud. The stabchaban, it's all intertwined with the guf. Hey, we struggle to feel holiness. We struggle to feel spirituality. We struggle to feel close to Hashem. We try, in Shmona Esrei, let's say, you know, you try to achieve it. If we would follow the Shulchan Aruch, not even Chassidish Sfarim, not even Kabbalah, but if we would follow the Shulchan Aruch, not only Shulchan Aruch, on Hilchos Tefillah, so we would become like, almost living, it would be just communing with Hashem, bonding with Hashem, talking to Hashem, and like you lose your sense of self, of goof. I'm sure Yishmon Ezra maybe is an example. When we find the neshama more, it's more likely we'll have Yom Kippur, I say one more fasting, maybe by a kumzit sometimes we. The problem when it comes in is that that's what I'm talking about, inspired for an hour, you know, then doesn't have any lasting power. But it's good. Maybe it gives a a jump start, you know, like cables in a car. I guess sometimes a jump start. Nimtzos grusho d'chuya, the neshama is nebuch, chased away, divorced from its real source of chayim. And it's mired in this world, which is so alien and foreign to it. Hashem forced it into this. It didn't have a choice. Al korcha chatanola, it says in Pirkei Avos. The neshama doesn't want to go down to the world, and then afterwards, then you don't want to die. But when you're born, the Gemara says, that's the Gemara says, you know, when you're born, you don't want to be born. That's in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah. Al korcha chatanola, al korcha chatanola. Nobody wants to willingly die. What?
That the gopher doesn't
want to die. The neshama also, because the neshama realizes what you can accomplish in this world, and once it dies, its time of accomplishment is over, and it is what it is, and it can't grow anymore. There's not going to be any more growth. That's it. It's scary when you think about it. These few years of life is what determines our foreverness. So the neshama is mired and it gets trapped in the mud and it has to clean itself off. Think of cleaning for Pesach. Oh, right? The guf is a chometz and the neshama was like the kid taking the box of Cheerios and just running around the whole house, scattering all the Cheerios around the house. I don't either. How do Cheerios manage to get everywhere? It's like a magic thing that they just burrow everywhere in the house. There's always a Cheerios.
But I think that the good is what brings the neshama down. But
when it starts, then your life's task is to reverse that.
But without the good, the neshama can't accomplish anything.
Right.
That's so it's not totally bad influence.
It can't be bad. Hashem did it as the greatest chet. The guf is bad. The neshama has to win the tug of war. Hashem created the whole system because it's a fantastic system, because this way we earn Olam Haba. This is what he explained in the first two krokim. We earn Olam Haba. Even if Hashem would give us Olam Haba as a freebie, it wouldn't be as good as what we do now, which is struggling and trying and Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam, and we overcome. But that's, he's describing what's happening. It's hard, and we all struggle, and the neshama has to overcome the guf. From the get-go, when the child's born, so where's the neshama? The neshama is sunk in the mud. And right now, the governing koach of the human being, of the child, is guf, 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 guf. We see that b'chush. Gets older and older, and the neshama starts developing more. And that's the job of parents, is to exercise the seichel. Have the child, they send the child to the gym and to dance classes and to judo classes, but they're sending him to cheder, and that's judo classes for the neshama. They're teaching the neshama how to overpower the guf, and that is life's task. So the whole thing in totality is a tremendous chesed Hashem, because that's how, and that's why he did the whole system, is because he's a tov and a meitiv. This is the Ramchal in the beginning. Hashem wants to be meitiv, derech hatov leheitiv, and the best possible tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be meitiv with others is to create this system where, now, if not for Adam HaRishon, this is maybe, I don't know if this is part of your question, but it is, if not for Adam HaRishon, it would have been much easier. It would have been an equal battle, equal on both sides, would have been an equal tug of war, and okay, you still have to fight, but it's equal. Adam HaRishon made it so much more difficult. But I think of a thing the Miller Zatzal points out, and really logic says, that must have been the game plan from the beginning. First of all, okay, Hashem always knows the future, so he always knows it. But it's not just a question of knowing. That was always the plan, that it should be post-chet. Hey, this is getting a little more into philosophy that I don't want to get into. This is already... No, no. So why did Hashem at first create that?
Right.
And then it's up, because... You know, so, there's always the ideal. It's like the Malach teaching Torah in the mother's womb, and then you forget it. So what's the point? Point is, you know, there's a, it has its effects, the residue effects, call it. You know, it helps. It helps to know that it's not an unattainable ideal that's only, you know, attainable in some other world. Okay, I don't know this already, why Hashem did it this way. Or you can learn, not like that, you can learn he gave Bechira and he messed up and this is a natural consequence. I mean, I heard it from the Millers, that's all. I really never saw anyone else say it, that was... Hashem always knows the future, so that's the issue. The issue is whether it was always part of the game plan, and it was always like supposed to happen that way. So he says, yeah, because it's hard to imagine what history would have consisted of. Would other people have been born? It was supposed to all end by Shabbos. So like the whole world would have consisted of those few hours. Things of sun. But maybe, yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about things we don't understand anyway. But, you know, we always say the template of Friday afternoon in a household is what other Mauritian had to do that Friday. Like, a lot of things happened, and he was rushing to finish my licht benching, you know. Anyway, the nimtzos grusho d'chuyya minyona ativi el inyan hafkilo ukvushabo b'lo machriach. He's describing a sad state that the neshama is in. L'tucha latsus mimeno elam kenka samich b'koach hazot mina koach ha-machricha. It has to break free. We're before Torah yet. Remember, Hashem gave us the Torah. He gave us a manual how to do it. It's not like we're lost in the woods and we don't have a manual of how to survive. Hashem gave us the Torah, and he said, "Here's my book of instructions how you can be successful in life." Right? This is your textbook. This is how you're successful in life. We're really jumping a lot. We didn't get up the Torah yet. I'm saying, I don't want you to get depressed before the next class. Hashem did us a tremendous favor and like fed us the solution. You know, we have the teacher's edition. You know, when I was a kid in school, everybody wanted to take a sneak look at the teacher's edition because that always had the answers at the back. No, all neshamas. We have a long way to go. That's why we're learning. Well, we'll see what happened. What happened is that what happened at the Mabul, and what happened with Noach, and what happened in the ten doros between Noach and Avram had to emerge, and then Hashem said, "Your descendants are going to be the ones who are tasked with making the world the way it should be." And the Goyim are going to be mired in the mess they couldn't. We'll learn, you know. They held their seven mitzvahs, but they know, Ubiyosha gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam Baruch Hu, Shar Kavah Zush Al Guf Adam V'Nishmosu Lo Tipore V'Yolam. This is where he says, one of the many, this is going to remain forever. This Harkava connection between Guf and Neshama is what will exist forever and ever and ever and ever. Pirish ki pirid hamisa, when we think of misa, when the neshama leaves the guf, eno eladover lefisha, it's a temporary station, ad tchias hameisim, achachar kach tzricha loshav leguf, that's what tchias hameisim is going to be, ushneim yiskaimu yachad lenetzach netzachim, that's what's the eternal existence will be guf and neshama. and the neshama will be energizing the guf, spiritualizing the guf to whatever degree it is spiritualized, to whatever degree it was able to clean off the mud. Hinei muchrach, but he's explaining it now. So it's necessary. Shetishtadel haneshama v'tischasek. The neshama has to go to its gym and flex its muscles and become stronger and overcome the guf. L'tia holechus u'machleshus is koach choshech hachumrius at shishor hal guf bilti choshech. Ah! It's going to wipe off the mud. And when it wipes off the mud, it's wiping off the mud not just from itself, but it's wiping off the mud from the source of the mud. It's cleaning off the guf also. Then the guf is able to become spiritual. And again, we don't really have an idea of a guf becoming a spiritual entity, but this is what he's saying. Malachim are like that. Malachim are some type of, I don't want to use the word physical because I don't really know what word to use, but there's something besides just ruach. The layer bar elyon, the guf will also bask in the pleasures of the oneg of connecting to Hashem. You turn the tables. You start off life with the neshama being sullied and muddied by the guf, and Hashem says, I'm giving you X amount of years, and I want you to turn the table. So you get scared, you know, okay, how many years do I have? Not that many, and the first 10 is wasted. And maybe the first 20. But the person in this world will always be fighting. Because of Adam Arishon's chait. Uviyos haChomer Ochur v'Choshuch Nimta Adam v'Choshuch Gadol v'Rochok Ma'ol v'Masheroy Lo Sheyiyah. We're very far in this world from. We find it hard to even think about from being connected to Hashem, bonding with Hashem, being a chelik with Hashem, having the spiritual pleasures of bonding with Hashem. We're very far from that in this world, because we're in a physical world, in a physical body, trapped. That is our job. To do whatever you can. And Hashem judges us. See, he has like a different picture. You know, maybe we're used to thinking, Musar Dick, I got the Torah, I got the mitzvahs, and I have to do them, and there's a chart on the wall, and when I do a mitzvah, I get a merit, and when I do an avera, I get a demerit, and whoever gets more merits gets to go on the class trip, and the class trip is called Olam Haba. Chava's thinking much more conceptually, not so childishly, so to speak. He's saying there's a struggle between the neshama and the guf, and a person's job, and like that, he didn't even get up the Torah yet. And the person's job in this world is to have the ruchni neshama overcome the gufni guf, and they will together bask in the oneg Hashem, which is the schar is connecting to Hashem, because the neshama like always comes from there, so to speak. But now we will be energizing the guf as well, spiritualizing the guf as well, and the guf also will have this immense pleasure of lihasanik al Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here.
Does it get lighter?